I'm Isander.
And I'm Gota.
And we are coming at you live from the Arctic Circle for a very special episode. We are officially, as of a few days ago, I think, well, we're taping this on the canon day, the 11th, but you're going to see this on the 13th. So with a few days, it is 1 year of this gig. We've been doing this for 1 year.
1 year.
You're so lucky I didn't have the time to find like rigged small explosives with confetti in them. Because I would have detonated them right then and there. We'll just add them in post. I will give you a heart attack next year. That's a promise. Regardless, we are 1 year into the gig. We are in our freshman year. We finished it. That's fantastic. If you are still...
No, we just finished our freshman year.
Yeah, we just finished it.
We're in a sophomore year now.
Exactly. If I remember correctly, it's been a while since I wasn't in the American education system. Year 9? Which is wrapped up year 9?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think...
That one.
It's different. Because like the UK uses one thing, but then New Zealand uses another thing. There's a lot of ways to skin this cat. We finished the first year of high school. Yay!
This is me not understanding. Is it Form 1? Form 1. Form 1, right?
It depends. Okay. There's forms. What matters is the holidays are gone, sadly. It's January, and after an arduous and lethal war, the US Navy has finally been able to subdue Mariah Carey again. And we're storing her back deep beneath the Arctic, only for her to begin her slow crawl to the surface that will inevitably end right before Halloween. It's tragic, it is, but we do what we can. She's gone off the Hot 100s. She's gone off the radio. We have but a few more months. And
remember, she does like slightly warm up a little bit in July because we have the weird Christmas in July phase that people go through.
We're not going to start with that. It's just been 1 year.
She like teases her existence. She's like, I'm still here.
Dude, it's crazy. I can't fathom just having a paycheck that seasonal.
That
just
fat,
going
that
from like
seasonal.
fine to I'm the richest woman on earth. Fine. And it's like, good for her. I can't help but be happy for someone like that.
It's awesome.
But thanks to you, we have gone from looking like this to looking like this now, minus the Arctic apparel. That's the one complaint.
If we had a we joked about putting a thermometer up here somewhere.
It's below freezing.
If it was there, it'd be reading 28? Wait, right now? Yeah, 28. Oh, 28.
No, lower than that, I bet. It's lower like than 25. That, by. We in that time, we have done a ton of stuff. We have gone from 0 views per video, because I remember those clear as day.
Oh.
Actually, no, it'd be like 5, because YouTube's merciful. They'll throw it in front of someone's eyes. they'll put it in front of someone's eyes.
Or we had that one friend who was just like, I watch every single one.
Actually, no, fun fact, I didn't. Like, the one friend who watches it, that's a new thing. Back when we started this originally, because I really like to focus in, I really like to hone in, nobody knew. Literally nobody knew. The only person who knew...
friend wasn't me.
Okay, it could have been you. I used to watch our stuff at work, too. So, like, that was also... I was that one friend, too. But regardless, we've gone from that to 100,000-plus views on average. And you double that if you track all the wonderful people listening in as we speak on whatever platform you like, Spotify, Apple Music. Everyone has their favorite.
I'm honestly surprised how well... Because honestly, dead honest, mm-hmm. I thought, like, podcasting as a genre was... not dead, but like on the downtrend. I'm like surprised and very, very happy with like all of the support we get on there. I really thought podcasting was like, okay, this is a medium that's kind of downtrending. It's fine, whatever. But
it's
been really, really good.
Yeah, no, it's I when I was putting the numbers together for this, for the victory lap, I kid you not. We have gone from non-existent effectively to, and this is so wild to say, charting. I'm not joking. In several countries and the global charts, we were on there at several points this year, top 50.
Mm-hmm.
We even cracked the top 10 for a little bit.
No, it was insane.
In the UK, we were top 5.
It was insane.
It blows the mind how much we've been able to accomplish together, and it's all thanks to you guys. We've gone from, again, nothing to, jarring to say, the single largest Warhammer Patreon out there, and the top 50 for videos and podcasts, too.
It really was. It really has. not exaggerating, gone from nothing to where we're at now.
Literally zero. Don't believe me. Go check them out. They're awful videos. Don't, in my room, videos non-existent.
Dude. Listen. We started January 11th. I had quit my day job December 20th.
Yeah, that's about right. I was still holding down my day job at the time, too, because one of us needed to buy lights and stuff. And oh, man, that was a tough time. I say all of that because I want to thank all of you that tuned in the 151 countries that listened to us in the last year. Thank you so much. And a special shout out goes to none other than Sydney, because of all locations on the planet, they're the ones who listen to us the most. I have to give them their flowers for that.
I mean, to be fair, the first foreign fracca started with
Australia. And they've stayed consistent. So kudos to them. The video breakdown's actually more American. I'll be real. It turns out Americans like things before their very eyes. Australians have commutes. They got places to be. They got places to be. They got things to do.
I would imagine then that like Australia backs our like list audio podcasts like heavily.
Oh, yeah.
Just because of like I can see being on the train commute or being in my daily car ride commute and just like put an earbud in, or like if you're in a car, just put it on the Bluetooth speaker. And
Not to forget the UK. You guys were there too. In Germany. There's a lot in languages that I don't speak, actually. So kudos to you bilingual folk too. But we are not the only ones up this year, because a lot of the time you just see people like, you know, celebrating themselves. And don't get me wrong, I am glad. But I also wanted to take time to celebrate you, because a few videos ago I did ask what your biggest wins in this past year was, because I want to show how you guys are up. And in the last year, so many of you have finished college, have put down a down payment on a house, have had kids, dude. There was one I saw that had like the same birthday as me too, and I was like, oh my god, what are the statistical odds of that? There were others who didn't just get into college but got into their dream college. Others finished high school, the perfect 4.0. Others got on the dean's list, dude. Like, that is all stuff to be proud of. There are tons and tons of you who signed up and made it through Basic 2, which is unbelievably hard for everything from the Army all the way to the Marines.
I know people who have been through Basic. I'm not that way.
And then there are... it's tough. It is tough. I would love to try and see how far I could get.
Honestly, that would be...
I would love to try.
That would be a great...
Recruiter salivating.
It would be a little bit out of left field, but that'd be an awesome video of just like, your average YouTuber goes through Basic.
We would be shipped to an island and we would make it like a week. A week of Marine Basic. But
listen. I know for a fact I am not built like that. I give myself 2 days.
I think I might be... Up until the borderline lethal exercises. Up until the borderline lethal exercises, then I'm like, okay.
Then the brain starts kicking in. It's just like,
actually,
do I like life? I think I do.
Yeah.
Do I want
to
risk?
It takes, no. There's a reason it's a win. It's very commendable to all of you that have done it so far. Mm-hmm. There are others who, so many of you, have just gone into 40K this year and have made a ton of friends that way. So that's another massive win. And some of them were pretty tear-jerky, dude. I think my favorite... The one that stuck out to me was one that Samuel left behind, and he had unfortunately lost his father in August to bone cancer.
Oh.
And he had to step up filling those massive shoes. And to quote him exactly, because that's the only way you can do it justice, is, "We lost a wonderful man to our lives, but I've succeeded in helping my mother keep the house he died taking care of." Oh. And that's... Dude,
that's heart-wrenching.
It's heart-wrenching, but it's...
like, infinite props to you, man.
Exactly.
I don't have words to describe how like tough a situation that is, and like, but props to you for stepping up.
Right? It's the stuff like that, I feel, that gets lost in most highlights. This is as much a victory lap for us as it is for you. We all started. Earth was right here. Hit a quick lap. It's back here. And all of us won in some way.
Well, ish.
We're not counting leap years.
Astrophysics.
So while I may not be able to shout out each and every single amazing individual, hopefully you've been seeing them flash by on screen, and all of you deserve your own little moment in the spotlight. It's all truly impressive. Another one I really liked is one I resonated with was somebody's biggest moment this year was realizing that they were doing the things that they dreamed of as a kid. And like, for the first time personally in my life, I could go back in time and 10-year-old me wouldn't punch me in the nads. That's a huge win. He was awful. For him not to, that's a pretty big deal. And so I am currently thinking of other ways to thank you guys for all the ways that you continue to amaze and exceed all of our expectations. So stay tuned for that. In the meantime, the bare minimum we can do for all of you supporting us for this last year is answer any and every question you have. And we have a long list. So this is the victory lap, baby. It may take different forms in the future, but this is variant one. Mm-hmm. And so we will start with the most asked question by quite a wide margin, actually. And that is, how did we meet?
High school.
Technically.
School friends.
Technically middle school.
Technically middle school.
Technically middle school. I had just shipped in because I've said this before, but my mom's work made her travel everywhere. I could not keep long-term friends to save my life. So I had landed and I was a really standoffish kid because I'm like, I'm going to be gone in a year anyway. It doesn't matter. None of you matter. Turns out I was there for like 13 years. So, oh man.
And counting.
So, that did not work out. And so I actually didn't speak to him at all, middle school pretty much, because to be fair to me, you were running around in an N7 hoodie publicly.
So listen. I had my close group of nerd friends, and me and my nerd friends, I think you had made friends with like a mutual of my friend group. Mm-hmm. And so I had heard of you. But I'd heard of you.
Yeah.
But I did not get to meet you until high school.
Sophomore year when we
had sophomore year, freshman year.
Algebra together. Algebra 1-2 together. Mm-hmm. Was that freshman year?
No, that was sophomore year.
Algebra 1-2, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Algebra 1-2, that's when we really met, and then we just hit it off from there, and the rest is history. The second most asked question was actually, hold on. What did we do before YouTube, and what do we do outside of YouTube?
You want me to start this question?
Ask him.
I'll start this answer. Before YouTube, I'm not gonna lie, I was in a bit of a rut, not gonna lie. I was working like odd and end jobs, like it was not the pristine thing. I was going to school, which was probably the most I was doing, but I took a single gap year that turned into like three gap years, so it's like I was like studying a lot of music before then. I was doing a lot of like weird art stuff before then, but it wasn't like I never knew how to kind of bring that into fruition of like a full project, which was unfortunate. I think there's a lot of random stuff I have like all over the internet that's just here and there that is things I've done. I can't name them, and none of them have popped off anywhere. But I mean, that's pretty much what I was doing before this. So
yeah. Well, what do you do outside of YouTube?
What do I do outside of YouTube?
Yeah.
I still do that weird art stuff. I run around. I do a lot of photography. I'm in the background working on music projects that either never get finished or like I'm always in a state of, this is really good. How do I make it better? This is really good. How do I make it better? Which I've heard from all of my other music friends. That is just a perpetual state of being. I'm a huge, 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 massive, I'll call myself prissy, but like when it comes to movies, media in general, just like watching weird art films with friends or really bad films with friends. I think
awful
that one's,
films with friends are always
I
great.
Think that one's infinitely more fun. My favorite movie is, if anybody has seen it, is Rubber. It's awesome, dude. I love Rubber.
I still remember watching that in high school with one of my friends. That's a terrible movie. Dude, I don't even Rubber. Think it's on Netflix. I don't think it's on Tubi anymore.
No.
You can't find it. No. It's awful.
It's awful
truly
movie,
terrible.
But it's so good.
okay, now what did I've done a lot of things. I think I've had more. I think of the two of us, I've had the most gigs.
Yeah, you've
because I hop.
I had odd and end jobs, but like I would stick with them for a long time. And you hopped and hopped and hopped.
I've had odd gigs here and there. I was administrative at the city hall for a little bit. That was weird. I schlepped sandwiches for a little bit. That was even weirder. But hey, it's how I got my first computer, so I can't be mad at it.
We worked that first job together. Yeah. We schlepped sandwiches together.
Totally schlepped sandwiches together. I still go back there every now and then. I feel no shame for it. It was fun. I worked for the college I was at for a little bit there. I was student body president for a little bit there. I'm not going to list my most recent gig just because it's so hyper-specific.
It's hyper-specific. It'd be enough to, like, place us directly.
Well, no, I don't. It's not that. You guys know where I am. It's not that at all. It's just for you know, other people's sake, you know, I don't want anyone to ever have to deal with, like, being harassed because of me. So that's why I'm going to keep that one vague. It was in the auto industry. It's unfortunate that it was. That one I regret deeply because now I have the innate ability to look at any blob-shaped thing with wheels and know exactly what it is. It's a curse.
Listen, we'll be driving and he'll like freak out, start screaming, point at a car across the intersection, and he'll go, oh my god, that is a glup show of 2000, and I'm like, and car.
I'll take the slander, sure, whatever. But yeah. I've now been bitten with the car guy bug, and it is unfortunate because it is an infinitely expensive hobby. It's just so jarring and so painful.
See, it's more fun when you just look at cars and you're like, oh yeah, that is the glove 2000.
Whatever, okay?
Or just an car.
An car. Currently, what I do outside of this is, honestly, most of my time is spent on this, other than this in college. A lot of my time is spent on this, trying to figure out how to make this better, because the neat thing about YouTube is, and I'm not going to do the whole, oh, whoa, is me having to record videos. It's not that. It's a different skill set, there's no course for it. Right. And so there's a lot of this you have to learn, and there's a lot of weird things nobody tells you about. It's not just recording a video. There's quite a bit behind the scenes that has to happen. And so it's been really learning a bunch of that. And that's what I spend a lot of my time with, streamlining, trying to get this down, trying to figure out how we can make these better for you, more consistently for you, different types of videos we can try, different areas we could explore, you know, stuff like that. Because I genuinely enjoy doing this. I do. And so a lot of my time is spent on continuing this and making this as best as I possibly can. I think I've said this on Patreon a few times, but my goal with every video I put out is for you to look at the previous one and go, oh, okay, well, I didn't know. Yeah, right? Nothing makes me happier than the fact that you can go back to our very oldest videos and go, yikes! My God, nothing makes me happier than that. And I hope someday you go back and you go, Jesus, on this one too. Nothing makes me happier. It's improvement.
I think my favorite YouTube channel to do that to is Chubby Emu.
Oh, I love the stuff he does now. You go back.
Because he's you look at the stuff he does now and it's like, he's got an actual PhD doctor. He's got his flow down. He's doing everything perfectly. Well researched, and he delivers it. I still love presenting to the emergency room.
Yeah, no, it's great.
And then you go back to his old stuff, and he's playing Risk of Rain 1, talking about how he's only in his underpants, and he needs to go away because his girlfriend just sent him.
That's the one beautiful thing about YouTube is you can really see the progression. And you can see this about any YouTuber who's been around for a long time. You just go to their page, click oldest. Whew!
Oh, it's awesome, you'll see, dude.
And nothing makes me happier because there's no shame in it.
It's awesome, dude.
Honestly, I see that kind of stuff and it inspires me because I go, okay, see, they weren't always like this unattainable level. It took them effort too, so I can do it too.
Dude, I love Chubby Emu's progression specifically because you can tell in the background he's getting his PhD done. Mm-hmm. Because he starts off referring to himself as like as Chubby Emu. Mm-hmm. I think he goes Chubby Emu or something like that. Uh-huh. And then he like there's like somewhere, I think it's around 2018, where he's just like, "Hi, I'm Dr. Brian."
It's like, and you can see that.
Whoa,
you can see that in almost every YouTuber, no matter how large or small. From the largest, if you click on Mr. Beast's channel and you go back, it's awful Minecraft stuff that's borderline unwatchable today. But
yeah.
You see that, you're like, dang, that guy went from there to
it's insane.
It's
yeah.
cool. That's one of my favorite things, because most industries, you only get to see the top of the mountain. You don't see the rest of it. But in YouTube specifically, you can see the entire thing.
It's all logged.
And I love that so much. And I love when people just leave the videos up and just don't delete them. And it's like, yeah, that's how I was. And I have gotten better. It is what it is. You can too. That's the goal. Next question. Every week, and I'm guilty of this, it's true. Every week you say this is your favorite, and whenever I mention a faction, but who is my actual favorite? This goes for the both of us, I'm assuming.
Too. Oh, mine's easy. I'm pretty out and out about this. I love the Necrons. They're my favorite.
Ultramarines.
I like the Robo Bone Boys.
It's I'm blue. I'm blue dubba dee dubba da. And it's the Ultramarines for me. It's if I have a, and I know it's so generic because they're the poster boys, but I don't like them just because they're the poster boys. I really like
because they're blue.
No, it's not just the blue too. It's the and this one is kind of answering another question later on, because somebody asked why specifically I like the Ultramarines. And it's because, in a if I really boil it down to its literal core, it's everything I strive to be. That's all. The Ultramarines are, I mean, you look at some of the other brothers and you're like, oh, that's horrifying. And, but you look at the Ultramarines and they just do their jobs and they're very functional about it. And that's kind of perfection.
Compare the Night Lords to the Ultramarines to get this juxtaposition real hard.
I will be fair to the Night Lords. There's a lot of fun to be had in the exact opposite of a Space Marine.
They can't go 5 seconds without skinning an orphan.
That's the opposite of... Because Space Marines are really like, I am an honorable combatant. I will meet you head first and we shall clash. And the Ultramarines are like,
no. Ye Knights of old, but in space.
Yeah, they quite literally are. And the Night Lords are like, yeah... I could fight you fair, or you could slip on your own skin.
They're the dark side of knights of ye old.
Yeah, and so there's this, there's something, that's actually why I'm a bit of a Marine fanboy, because you can find, there's a Marine for you. Guarantee. If it's not one of the main 20, it's one of the sub 20.
Listen.
I know that for a fact.
Before I was into 40K, I didn't believe it. I just looked at them all, and I'm just like, those look like the guys from StarCraft.
Mm-hmm. Actually, I think
StarCraft started because they wanted to do a Warhammer 40K game and they couldn't.
And Games Workshopped, for lack of a better term.
So, but no, yeah. Just learning about them all over the
years. Yeah, there's a Marine.
Oh my God, there really is a Marine for everyone.
But yeah, no, if it's, I know it's so boring, I know. But if I had to choose a superpower, it'd be just that. I mean, dude, we're going to take a side tangent here. But like, the fact that when they're written, they're written with having a scheme of thought that's derived off of Gilliman's own scheme of thought. And that sounds crazy. That sounds stupid. That sounds overly restrictive. And then you realize pilots have to go through that too. Like, airline pilots have a framework. I know this for a fact because one of my friends was going to be a pilot. And so I got to see a lot of the stuff he was studying. They have a framework for problem solving that they go through that's just the most efficient way to solve a problem as a plane's hurtling towards the ground.
And it's just Gilliman's.
And the Ultramarines get a little version of that. And it's like hearing them do like the theoretical practical kind of situation. I'm not doing it enough justice. A 3-part Gilliman video will happen. There's nothing you can do to stop me.
A three part.
Hey, it's better than the
one entire video is just going to be on the philosophy of PEBCAC and how to solve it.
Yeah. Yeah. You think I'm joking, but I'm not. That one will actually segue really well into another question, which is, speaking of multiple part videos, how do we intend on doing the heresy, or do we have any ideas on how we want to do the heresy? I've said this on Patreon before. I will say it on YouTube now and possibly regret it. There are two ways I'm debating doing the heresy.
Number one is suffering.
Number one is just the traditional heresy style, you know, like playlists, you know, like, mm-hmm. This is how, and in chronological order, probably stapling a few of the books together, because I'll be real, if we went book by book, that'd be a 50-part series.
We'll one-pace the
Horus Heresy. We'll one-pace the Heresy for you. Or alternatively...
That show has filler arcs.
Yeah, filler arcs.
But anyway, leave it alone. Go on.
Our friends don't need to catch strays. that's option one. Option two is sitting here with Coda for 12 hours straight as I go through the Heresy start to finish. And I try to compress 52 books in 12 hours. And that's infinitely challenging. And I don't know if anyone has the patience to sit through that. But that is an idea I am playing with.
Listen, And I don't say this against Patrician TV. I love Patrician TV. But if people can sit through 19 hours of Skyrim review, unfortunately, I think people can sit through 12 hours of Horus Heresy.
The main thing would be the accuracy for that. Because, like, for the most part, I try to take the entertainment over, like, pure 100% accuracy, right? There are things I will leave out because it doesn't... My goal is to give you the feeling a faction is supposed to evoke more than anything else, because that will guide you towards, oh man, I love that feeling. And then you'll go read those books and you'll get more of that. Because if I tried to summarize every book, A, I couldn't because of time. And B, I'd be doing an injustice to all the great writers at GW right now. Because they do really good jobs.
They do really good jobs. And those books are written the way they are on purpose. Yeah, and like if we just compressed it into like, here is the exact information, robo voice, get it all into your brain, it would do it a disservice.
Yeah, it would do it a disservice.
And I mean, so, that's exactly the process that went through when we were talking about the Necrons, because I was like, you told me about the Necrons, and I'm like, I really want to read The Infinite and Divine now. Mm-hmm. And now I know just enough to get myself through the book, and I'm really getting to know and love Trazen and Orican.
Exactly. It's really fun. And so with the Heresy, I'm torn between being... And because the Heresy, you got to be specific, because it's there are dates, there is a hard timeline, there are events that can change because GW is not afraid of changing things. And so there's a lot there versus the alternative approach of, do I get the feelings that cause the Heresy more than anything else? The broad strokes of it, so that you can then go, that whole Istvan 5 thing was really interesting. Let me just take a look at that real quick.
Let me read that book. And then you get deep into it.
Oh man, this Erebus guy sucks. Let me just, you know? That one is one that I'm churning around. But it is going to happen at some point. It is just the how, specifically, that's going to happen. Next question, would we ever consider doing an episode on the lesser known Space Marine chapters? Yes.
I think so.
However, I have to temper them with some of the other stuff too, because if I could do them, and I could do Space Marine videos from now till pretty much the end of time, because there's a lot of
Space Marines. There's a Space Marine for everyone, and there is an infinite amount of everyone.
Yeah. So, but to answer your question, yes, even the most minor ones, I would be interested in doing a video on. The only problem is there's not, if they're super duper minor, like a footnote, you know, there's not enough for a full video.
You'd have to do like a combination video of here's like the least known Space Marines.
Mm-hmm. Next question. Somebody said that who would win, the Empire from Star Wars or the Imperium of Man, fleet-wise? Hmm. And this one's specifically for you. And to be fair, good job on asking him specifically.
Because he knows nothing.
He's a Star Wars nerd. I'm kind of not. Vaguely I am, but not really. Tangentially.
I think it depends. It really depends, because a lot of the weaponry in Star Wars is very laser focused and it's very long range. So if they can keep Space Marine ships or like Imperium of Man ships like away, mm-hmm. where they can bombard them with the long range artillery, and if the Imperium's ships aren't shielded,
they are.
Okay, so then this might be an Imperium victory, just because there's not a lot of projectile weaponry in the Star Wars canon.
The shields can be overloaded. It happens.
I mean, they can. You could probably overload if you're able to keep them at a distance. Mm-hmm. But if you have an Imperium ship that, you know, it gets to understand the game and it goes, oh, we just need to get close to them before they overload our shields. Mm-hmm. And then you have a problem.
I'm also assuming this is two fleets meeting in a void and not the full weight of the Imperium, because there's not much that can withstand the full weight of the Imperium.
Yeah.
It's so... The Imperium only functions when it's fighting five things at once.
The one thing that I'll give the Empire from Star Wars is they're a little bit better organized.
A little bit? For sure they are.
They're a little bit
better
organized.
The Imperium is awfully organized.
So I'd imagine, listen, Imperium of Man ships aren't as cobbled together as Orc ships, but when you compare the Star Wars Empire's ships to the Imperium of Man ships, they might as well be. But there's only so much that your quality can get you when it comes to absolute just like huge. Listen, no, this is the debate.
No, you can just hear 1,000 keyboards.
This is not me saying Imperium of Man ships are bad. Mm-hmm. This is me saying that Star Wars Empire's ships are like prissy Ferraris, and Imperium of Man ships are Dodge Challengers. One of them says no replacement for displacement, and they can go really good in a straight line.
That's such a fair...
But the other one's very, very, very good at what it does, but the moment one thing breaks, everything breaks.
I'm not going to weigh in on that at all. Move on to the next question, baby. this is another one for you. Is that a Fujifilm X100V on the shelf?
Unfortunately, no, it is not. I would love a Fujifilm X100V. That is actually a Fed 2. There's a lot of story behind the Fed 2. I'm going to sum it up to basically it is a Soviet Russian clone of a Leica because I couldn't afford a Leica.
So fair, by the way. Those things are expensive. Next question, was this channel always meant to have a focus on Warhammer lore, or is that an unexpected turn of events? Also, being able to listen to you two for the past couple of months has really been a blessing. I hope you two enjoy yourselves.
Well, we have been enjoying ourselves.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
I think from the start, it wasn't exclusively Warhammer. A lot of it was like, from the beginning, it was a lot of... what's happening on the internet today. Mm-hmm. Like, maybe a Philly DeFranco After Dark kind of feel. You get what I mean?
Vaguely. I mean, the main thing in the very beginning was just, like, how... Because, again, we didn't know how to make videos. Mm-hmm. And so the main thing was just make a video consistently.
Yeah.
On a schedule. And then you can get good at it. But first you need to make the dang thing is mm-hmm. what I was so focused on. And so it was really eclectic and a little bit of anything. If you go back to some of the older episodes, they're slightly unfocused mm-hmm. As we were experimenting with different things. Because, again, back then the goal was make a video. Because that was the first hurdle. That's the first hurdle for anyone to be a YouTuber. It's make the video. And so, no, it wasn't necessarily, but we did get into Warhammer because it was something I was and I am infinitely interested in. It's something I can talk about.
What we were trying to do is let's discuss our hobbies on here. Because, you know, everybody has a hobby and, like, nobody knows how to start with a hobby. Here are people who have started with hobbies several times because we're both eclectic weirdos.
Oh, yeah.
Why don't we explain how we got into it? That's why there is, like, the Lego Porsche on there. That is why there's the Fallout thing on there because... eclectic likes. Mm-hmm. That's why there is the weird ancient esoteric cameras here and the Star Wars lightsaber over there, because this has always been about, like, here's what we're doing. This is awesome.
Pretty much. And so that's kind of the turn it's taken. I'm not complaining, though. I'm really not.
Neither am I. Every single step of the way learning about Warhammer, I used to not be a fan of Warhammer just because mm-hmm. of, like, I wasn't a big grimdark guy, but like mm-hmm. over the past year. Genuine respect for the IP.
Any excuse for me to dig deeper into it, I'll take. And I have a great excuse right now. Another question comes from when I said my first car had four colors and one of them was rust. Somebody asked, what was my first car and what was your favorite car? And this one is for the both of us.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to start?
I think the four color car should be first.
2008 Ford Crown Victoria, baby. The police variant.
So basically it was a 1994 Ford Crown Victoria.
They just kept building. That thing was black, white, bare metal, and rust. It was just a hot mess of a vehicle. But my God, did everyone do five under when I was driving that thing. And I never got cut off once. I'm not even joking when I say I used to whistle It's a Wonderful Day in the Neighborhood as I was driving. Because I was like, why do people hate driving? This is great. This is fantastic.
And then he'd hear me screaming like a raving rabbit.
Yeah. And
excuse me, rat. Rat. Yeah, rat. Screaming, squealing.
And then I left that car and I understood it all suddenly. I understood it all, and I kind of want it back. I'd be lying if I said I didn't. However, my favorite car is... The correct brand is sitting above my head. However, that is not... I fluctuate. There's quite a few favorite cars. I will give the two most consistent, and that is the GT3 RS and the... Land Cruiser, specifically the variant they make down in Australia and New Zealand, the 70 series. The one that still looks like it's really old, but it's just a modern car, basically. With fewer airbags, I think, but I'm willing to take that risk. Those are the two options. So you have blisteringly fast and just saddeningly slow, but that's fine. I don't mind a very slow diesel. I quite like it, actually. So if not if, but when I have my dream garage. Those two are going to be there for sure. Just because they have to be. The importing of that one's going to be a real challenge, though. But so is a GT3 RS. So yeah. We'll solve that problem when I get there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. As for my first car, did you have another thought?
I lied is my problem.
You lied is your problem?
I lied is my problem. Oh, that's so tragic.
Another thought prompted into his head.
Okay. The real. There's an answer that's above all of those, and it's only because it's got significant meaning to me. And that is the McLaren Senna, because that is one of the cars that got me into cars in the very, very beginning. Because if you read about Ayrton Senna, you will very quickly... You'll get an affinity for F1 like that, dude. That's a story and a half. So that's one of the cars that really got me into cars to begin with. And then on top of that, back when I was working my previous gig, I remember every morning I would be making breakfast. And there was one in the showroom there all the time. And so I'd be making breakfast. And I have no choice but to stare at it all day. literally, I'm making my tea. It's steeping. I look at a wall or look at the Senna. And so I would look at the Senna. And it's always been an internal thought of mine that, man, I would really love to own one of those, because that'd be like the full circle. That would be like the, man, I did make it. I went from like, couldn't figure a thing out to, I figured it out. I really figured it out. And so, yeah, the Senna's up there. It doesn't put the numbers up as a bunch of other cars. I know it's not the most reliable thing on planet Earth, but it's just got a very special place in my heart. It's my, like, it's my before I die car. And I know it's a difficult one because it starts at above $1 million, so, but it is what it is.
As for me, my first car was a 2002 Chevrolet Cavalier in blue. When I say an car, I mean a car. The only thing I can give that car, it was very, very light, and so it could get up off its own ass. Mm-hmm. Exclusively because it had no ass to move,
okay.
Which was great when it was dry and awful when it was wet, which is what killed it.
I've never been in an accident. I stay winning.
I went 360. Okay, yay.
You don't stay winning then.
I don't stay
winning. We can't have it all, I suppose.
As for my favorite car, I'm not enough of a car person to... I'm
surprised it hasn't leached off yet.
It only a little bit has. I can name specific cars that I like, but like...
I'll start a car show just to wean him down. Don't worry.
As for my favorite car, I'm not enough of a car person to throw specs at you. But what I can say is my favorite body styling is of the 1979 Dodge Charger. I've always loved that thing.
I've always loved that thing. It's also American to the bone. You bleed red, white, and blue, and I'm proud of you for that.
Listen, I don't seem like the type to like American Muscle, but God damn, I love American Muscle.
Yeah, it surprises me. It's funny because you look at the two of us, and you would assume that you are the more of the European car, so refined, Italian style, German engineering. That's what you expect. And then you, me, it's like, no replacement for displacement, baby, speed. But it's the exact opposite.
It's the exact opposite.
Yeah, you just want loud and fast, and I like refinement. And or something that has meaning to me, deep, deep sentimental meaning.
when I was 3 years old, here's the meaning. When I was 3 years old, I had a graphic T-shirt that said American Muscle on it, and it had a 1979 Dodge Charger.
I wouldn't be surprised if it's from your dad. That reeks of him.
Yeah, probably.
Next question, favorite food, sushi currently.
It's the same thing.
Yeah. Oh, my God, sushi.
Sushi's awesome,
such
dude.
A wide margin. It's not even fair. And it's partially because it's pretty hard to get good sushi. So it stays winning by scarcity.
Mm-hmm.
It stays winning by scarcity. I'm sure if I ate sushi all day, every day, it would tank. But I don't get to do
that. See, I'm excited because at some point in my life, I want to visit Japan. And I've heard that the convenience store sushi... Convenience store, like 7-Eleven, is not bad.
I've heard the worst sushi you can get in Japan is still leagues better than sushi you can get anywhere else, which makes sense.
Which is insane.
That's the home.
Like, I mean, it is the home, but yeah. Like, it's insane that like a convenience store package of sushi right next to, I've seen the pictures, the nudie mags that are right there open at the front of the store. It's the best, not the best sushi, but it's not bad. It's better than American sushi.
Reading material. When did y'all get into Warhammer? Well, I think you've watched him get into Warhammer.
You've watched me get into Warhammer.
So that's that. for me, it was back in high school. The main thing is I've always orbited Warhammer. And I'd dig in, and then I'd leave. And then I'd dig in, and then I'd leave. And it took quite a few passes for me to really get sucked into it, because every time I would, there was a time period when Warhammer was going through it. I'm talking retcon after retcon, nothing could be done right. The end times are happening to the left. And, you know, yeah, that was a thing that was happening.
No. I have a friend who is like a fanatic for Warhammer Fantasy, and you say end times in front of him, and he just twitches.
Yeah.
He twitches, the anime vein appears on his forehead, and he just gets angry.
And then the Warhammer community itself wasn't always like the super nicest thing. They are now. Like, they really are great now. Mm-hmm. But, like, there was a time period when it was, like, kind of weird, and, like, there'd be factions fighting with each other. So it was always really hard to get into it, especially when it's such a dense topic. Mm-hmm. Because there's very few universes as deeply cataloged as Warhammer, down to the dates, you know? Like a person can do a timeline of Warhammer really well, actually, at least for the Imperium. And you can get very specific, very accurate, and be very helpful. That's really cool. Not many other IPs have that to them, which is a good thing, but it's also, you see that timeline, I'm scared, where do I start?
You literally get the same, like, I mentioned this, like, 30 minutes ago, the One Piece, like...
Yeah, oh god, that's 1,000 episodes, where do I start?
Oh god, that's 1,000 episodes, where do I start? It's the same thing.
If I was told a year ago that... Hold on. If we were told a year ago that you guys would be one of the favorites of Warhammer YouTube, what would you say?
How'd I get there? To be honest, I didn't know we were going to be doing Warhammer when we started, and I wasn't into Warhammer when we started. So that would be my immediate question is how?
I don't think you guys can comprehend how jaded of a human being I was at the time. So the real unfortunate answer, if you went back in time and found Isander and told him like, hey, dude, you're going to be one of the favorites of Warhammer YouTube, would have been, get the fuck out of my face. I have to get to work. And it's so sad that that's how beaten down I was at that time. But that's pretty much the answer you would have gotten as I sped to make it there on time. Am I wrong? You knew me back then.
I knew you back then.
Is that not accurate?
That is 100% lore accurate, yes.
Yeah. ooh, can we get a mini list of minis that are our favorite in 40K? Angron stays winning. Mortarion stays winning. I've said this almost every episode. I love them so much. It's not just because they're huge, massive. There's so much detail to them.
I'm going to be humble.
Gilman.
I'm going to be humble. The Necron Psychomancer.
Good choice.
You want to know why?
Why?
Because we walked into a game shop literally 3 days after... we had done the initial Necron video, and that was pretty much the only model on the on their rack.
Our local
there.
Game shop sells out really quick when it comes to Warhammer.
Yeah, no,
it saddens me.
Listen,
it doesn't sadden me. Good for them. I'm happy that you know it's happening.
But like, why won't you let me buy?
I know, it really, really hurt. Like
they always.
I never got to see the lion in person. It sold out that quick.
They always have stock when I'm personally broke.
Yeah. It's funny how that works. It's funny how that works. Yeah.
It must be everyone's wallet fluctuates with my wallet, and they get to it first. But anyway, walked into this game shop, and that was like dead center, the one model that they had on the racks, and I looked at it, and I just like stared there and pondered at it. It's just like...
Pondered.
This is really cool. This, oh my god, I love the Necrons. Mm-hmm. And that is genuinely also why the Necrons have remained my favorite since the start.
Actually, some of the new Leviathan models are pretty good, too.
Yeah, but like...
Some of the new Leviathan models are pretty good, too.
Robot Bone Boys.
Yeah, I mean, you have your favorite. There's nothing wrong with it. Mm-hmm. There's absolutely nothing.
Like, I've seen the new Leviathan models. They're awesome. Mm-hmm. They're great. They're awesome. I just really like the Necrons, dude.
I do, too. Considering Warhammer is pretty much our bread and butter at this point, would we ever consider continuing the different discussions we did back in the day, like the ones on AI or like Dune? This person specifically said he hopes those don't stop in specific. And my answer is probably not, honestly. a big reason why we have the Patreon is because it gives us creative freedom. Like, look, I'm not going to sit here and say YouTube's been mean to us. YouTube's been great to us. Like, they've been fantastic to us.
But YouTube does kind of like, when you have an algorithm, you have an algorithm.
It has an algorithm, and its main thing is to funnel people in specific places because it wants the most possible watch time. There's nothing wrong with that. It's what they want.
It's just what the robot overlords do.
And so, occasionally, there'll be videos where the algorithm will just shunt it because it's like, oh, no, you're this channel. Do this forever, basically. Mm-hmm. But that's why I've specifically labored to set up a Patreon. That way, we can do that and not necessarily worry about the impact that would have. I don't need to fear, like, oh God, well, what if the algorithm shunts this? Well, that's all, folks. I do have to for a little bit just because, you know, like, whole channels can be sunk into, like, these... A channel can death spiral from what I've discovered.
Yeah.
And just, like, I mean, just look at Illuminati. Channels can just enter pits and never dig
and
out.
And they won't be able to get out.
It doesn't matter how many subscribers you have. So it's very odd... delicate game.
Yeah.
But it is one that I'm trying to poise ourselves to be best capable of, it's not that I don't want to do Warhammer Forever. I really do like Warhammer. I've discovered that the more facets you show, the more different ways we can connect, the more interesting and unique things we can make, the better. But the downside to creating interesting and unique things is it requires experimentation. Mm-hmm. It's not just, oh, this is interesting and unique and we got it on the first try. It's no, they tried to make this work over and over again until it finally did. And so that's been the main thing. I'm trying to poise us in a position where we can have that room to experiment and get good. And then do a bunch of weird stuff while still maintaining quality above all, you know?
It's like the problem that I wouldn't even call it a problem because it's like, it's, we still enjoy what we're doing here, but like.
Oh no, there's no debate.
This is going to be like a not a deep cut for music nerds, but like people who are music nerds are going to get this. Try to qualify all of like Ween's discography, all of it, into one genre.
A Ween reference.
Try to do that. You can't. But that's what YouTube tries to do. And the unfortunate reality is it can't. So it kind of just like pushes Ocean Man at you and tells you this is what Ween is.
We're gonna move on. I can't tolerate Ween references. Okay, I knew it would happen at some point. I'm surprised there weren't as many of them this time. Fully armed and filthy, who would kill a greater quantity of demons? Doomguy or Khaldor Drago?
This is awesome.
I hate this running
this
bit
so
much.
This is awesome because this running bit only runs with the Patreon, so this is YouTube's first exposure to it.
There's a couple more, too, so...
There's a couple more?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
I said I would answer as many as possible, so...
Oh.
I think I gotta give it to Doomguy just because it's a different thing.
Hold on, what were the options? Because this is the first time that I had the mental flashback.
See, doesn't it just kill you? You can't comprehend the full question.
What's the full question
Doom
again?
Doomguy or Khaldor Drago, who can kill the most demons? Fully armed and filthy.
Doomguy.
Right?
Because at least Khaldor Drago has enough humanity left in him that he will still drop by his fellow Grey Knights and go, I will help you, good sirs. But Doomguy doesn't even stop to ask nicely for somebody's hall pass.
Well, I was just going to say BFG.
BFG is also... BFG also skews the tables a little.
Have we played Darktide or Vermintide? I have played both. I prefer Darktide because I like Darktide's. I like 40K. Come on.
Yeah. Same. I like Darktide a little bit more just because like I've never been a huge fantasy nerd. I've always been like hard sci-fi. So Vermintide didn't really call me, but I mean, it's not a bad game. Still a really good game.
Somebody sent in a question, which is, what book would you recommend we start with? And as always, Infinite and the Divine. And as proof, there's actually the comment right beneath it was, I want to say thank you so much for recommending me the Infinite and the Divine. The book has been fantastic so far, and I can't wait for my dad to read it, who's been a longtime Warhammer fan, and the person who got me started. Cheers from Denmark.
Cheers back from America.
Yeah.
I love your cities. They're all bikeable.
You just like anywhere that's bikeable.
The Infinite, in my experience as like a Warhammer newcomer, as well as somebody
you can speak on this the best,
who's reading The Infinite and Divine, I don't know what other Warhammer books look like, but from The Infinite and Divine, there is not so much terminology in there. There's not so much lingo you need to know to walk in. Like, it is the most it's the easiest, like, I am new, I want to read a Warhammer book that is there, I think. Because it's just, from my experience, if I was confused about something, either the book covered what that meant, or, I mean, you got the vibe for it already. Dude. Like, what are the Exodites? Oh, they then describe, what's his name? Robert Rath?
Mm. Oh, yeah, I think so. There's a few GW work.
Yeah.
No, Robert Rath, I think.
If you're if there's like a confusing term, like there's a proper noun in there, Wrath will take the time to explain either their vibe or what they have on them. Like the Exodites, what do they have? They've got a bunch of bone weaponry. They're elves. They are like Exodite. They're Exodists. That's not the right word. They are elves who have Exodus.
Your lexicon never fails to me.
My lexicon's awesome. Leave it alone. But yeah, it's so approachable as a Warhammer book because it doesn't just throw. It doesn't shot put lore at you. It kind of gradually brings it into you, like into your brain, into the forefront of your brain, and it does a really, really, really good job at characterizing. Just everything there, the characters, the entities that exist. It's awesome. It's awesome.
Okay. And I'm glad, because that was kind of the goal, because I've been through a couple of Warhammer books and some of them are dense. Not bad, but dense. And I wouldn't recommend anyone start with the super dense ones. Not because they're bad. It's just dense.
Start with the Horus Heresy. Read all 52 books in succession.
Honestly, some of them are not bad starting points. The problem is some of them drop you mid-heresy. And
are they not in order? Chronologically?
Depends.
Do I need a one-paced guide for the Horus Heresy?
There's a guide for it.
Okay.
I mean, don't get me wrong. There is like a whole, like, there's a logical way to read through it.
Mm-hmm.
But there are some.
I'd imagine that the book series is more anthological because just for the sheer like logistics of getting the writers together to write it.
And it's an important story that needs to be told, mm-hmm. various angles to it too. So it makes sense that it's like, oh, this is Horace's perspective, but now it's kind of irrelevant, so let's move to somebody else's perspective. Mm-hmm. And now that's technically a new one, but not really, because it's still a part of the overarching heresy story.
Yeah.
We're just seeing like through this person's lens during the heresy. Mm-hmm. And so to get the full picture of the heresy, you kind of have to go through all these eyes to see it.
Yeah. Because there are so
mm-hmm. even sometimes you get so to, many you see, eyes you even got 40K. To see through the Emperor's eyes occasionally.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. Oh. We covered one of those.
Oh yeah, the board is set.
Yeah, that's a part of the heresy. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's in like that canon timeline of the heresy, like the canon book order. But it's still an important part of the heresy. Mm-hmm. It's in there. It's mm-hmm. important. And do you see why I say it's probably going to be like a 12-hour video?
Yeah, because there's like little things like that it needs to be covered. Because even the board is set is about like the desperation of like, oh god, I the final gambit this basically. Out.
Would we ever consider doing an iceberg for specific factions? Yes,
absolutely.
I've considered it, if only because of how deep every faction is.
That first like general lore like iceberg was so fun.
Oh,
so fun.
Oh yeah, you had fun with it.
I did have fun with that, especially all the Subnautica. Can you tell I was playing Subnautica
yes,
around the time?
Yes, we could tell. We heard the Cyclops in the video several times.
Dude, I love the Cyclops voice lines. They're awesome.
I hate it. Absolutely sawzed and dressed to impress. Who wins in a dance battle, Fulgrim or Leman Russ? And I'm going to leave you to answer these.
Leman Russ, because I think Leman Russ can handle his liquor better than Fulgrim, just off of a vibe.
Very good reason. Even though I'm positive Fulgrim has better dance moves.
Yeah, but like if Fulgrim doesn't know how to tolerate being sauced, mm-hmm. I know for a fact that Leman Russ does.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So Fulgrim may be gracefully falling over all over the place.
Yeah.
But I mean, I don't know. Leman Russ is going to have like 20 down the gullet and he's still going to get sturdy.
Oh god, I don't need that animated. I can't kind of do. that is awful, and we're going to end it with the worst question. Greased up and butt naked, who would be the worst for everyone if they were gobbled up by the Tyranids? I think the easy answer there is the Emperor.
The Emperor?
That'd be terrible. That'd be awful.
Because, I mean, you're doing two things with one munch. You're destroying the Astronomicon. That's what it's called, right?
Yeah.
You're destroying the Astronomicon, like, fundamentally. Yeah. So now humans can't just...
navigate.
Well, they navigate can. Anyway. Well, they can, but it's going to be a
you
lot.
You made it a trouble. Lot harder. You made it a
yeah,
lot
yeah,
harder.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's not like they have a bunch of coral engines running around.
Plus, let's not forget the fact that a lot of humanity's collective hope is rested in the corpse of their god sitting there.
Oh yeah, he's not just a figurehead. He's not just a lighthouse, but he is also a figurehead.
And so if the Tyranids ate him, that'd be...
That's like not only demoralizing, but it makes everything logistically impossible.
Pretty rough.
So you're killing actually three birds
that'd
with one mosh.
Pretty rough.
And then the third bird you're killing with one mosh, who knows what kind of power the Tyranids are going to inherit after consuming whatever is in the Emperor that makes him the Emperor.
I don't know either, but it'd be horrifying. We can agree on that.
Like, they are now mega psychers or something. I don't know.
Terrifying stuff. And that brings us to the end. There were a bunch of other questions. Like, I saw a bunch of people who were shocked with the speed of the tree grew with. I couldn't agree more. there were a bunch of people who actually saw, a lot of people were agreeing with the accuracy of when I compared, like, when I said how very possible the Mechanicus is compared with how people just treat their possessions anyway.
It's scarily possible.
Oh, it's scarily possible.
I think, okay, my favorite thing of just like, oh yeah, that's unrealistic. That couldn't happen. Mm-hmm. Is Lord of the Rings, the temptation of the One Ring.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be tempted by the One Ring. I just take it off when I was done. Meanwhile.
Scrolls TikTok for 6 hours a day.
Instagram, TikTok. Oh my God.
Yeah. And I saw I think my favorite thing I still see to this day is I've been seeing comments from back when I used to get like 500 views. And it's the same people today. And I always love seeing that. Like, there's a few I know, and I recognize you. I see you. I see you, I see you, veterans who've been with us through thick and thin.
Our first patron
mm-hmm.
who subbed to our Patreon
literally.
Before we even announced the patron
mm-hmm.
is still there to this day.
Yeah, and I could not be more
grateful. I could not be more appreciative, and I know you know who you are.
Mm-hmm.
My first, I promise you still, my firstborn son will have your name.
That is a terrifying promise to make, dude. Oh my God. And I'm petty enough to hold you to it is the thing. You don't know the kind of man I am. You could be 40 and I'll still remember this. I hope you're ready. I hope you're ready is what I have to say. Regardless though, my last fun thing I saw in the video was you want to know what the very first comment was?
What was the first comment?
A vote for the White Scars. And that makes me so happy. You already know what the poll is. You already know what the options are this time. Sound off in the comments. And as always, thank you.
The fastest. I love this.
So much for everything. Truly from the bottom of my heart. And thank you for being you.